Chris Delhom. I'm with the USDA in New Orleans, and we're going to talk today a little bit about fiber quality of commercial roller ginning. This is the quality session, not the ginning session. So if you're not familiar, if you have any questions about roller ginning, that man back there, Carlos Amillo, he's the guy to ask. But it's standard practice for ELS cottons, extra long staple, what we think of as Pima-type cottons. Can also be done upland cottons. A lot of research has been done to show that it adds value. It increases uniformity index 1 or 2%. By 1 or 2%, I don't mean an 80 becomes an 80.08 uniform cotton. An 80 becomes an 81 or an 82% uniformity index. Similarly, we get about an increase of 2 staple lengths just by roller ginning in the same cotton compared to saw ginning it. And this has been upheld in lots of research papers. Some of the more recent ones is Armijo and Gillum, Beiler and myself. Those are really, you know, they're research papers. They were done on a full-size gin stand, but it's one bale. It's done in a research facility. Vandersloos did a larger-scale study, not in Australia because they don't have roller gins in Australia that are operational, but he did it, I believe, in India and found the same results. So when we talk about roller gin versus a saw gin, if you're not familiar, on your right, my left, is a saw gin. And in a saw gin, if I can get the pointer to work, here you go, the seed cotton comes down, it enters into this roll box forming a seed roll, and the saw is rotating around, grabs that lint, and the saw is passing between gin ribs, which are very tightly spaced. It's able to grab the lint, pull it through the rib spacing, but the seed can't fit through the ribs if we're doing things right. Mike will be talking about that problem in a little while. And then you're now ginned, and a doffing brush takes it off. In roller ginning, it's actually a simpler, more related to the original, what they call churka gin method. You've got seed cotton comes down onto this roll, and you've got a rotary knife that basically passes the seed cotton onto the roll. The lint passes under the stationary knife. The seed gets clipped off and goes over. You also can see this thing called carryover. That's some seed cotton that didn't get ginned. It gets reclaimed and passed back through. It has traditionally been slower than saw ginning, which is one reason we gin the majority of our cotton on saw ginning. However, work has been done by Carlos and others for high-speed roller ginning, and for a foot of width, we're pretty much at the same capacity, right, Carlos? The difference is a roller gin's kind of narrow, and a saw gin's gotten really big. But that's a little difference, just for a little information. If you look at the 2015-16 crops, this is 2 years ago crop. This is California upland cotton, saw versus roller. The key takeaway there is look at that staple, 36.8 versus 39.3 for the roller gin, 81.4 uniformity for an 8 versus 83 uniformity for the roller gin. So it does show that, you know, hey, it looks like, you know, all the research is held up, and that's great. So why are we presenting a research topic on HVI classed data that we can get from AMS? Great question. Classing data is very limited. Classing data is great for marketing. It gives you length, it gives you strength, it gives you micronair. But where our roller gin cotton goes, you know, these are our long staple cottons. These are our good quality cottons. They're fine count spinners. Those spinners are asking for more data. They want things that APHIS gives us, which gives a lot more detailed information. And primarily, the first question, we were getting a lot of questions from merchants and mills and even gins saying, what's the level of NEPS for Western cotton? You know, for this roller gin stuff, you know, okay, if we run APHIS on it and we get a NEP report, what does this tell us? Is this high? Is this low? I mean, is it good, bad? I don't know. It's a number. And what I can always tell people when they call me that is go to this. This is called Ooster Statistics. You have any questions about that? Ask that gentleman right there. Ooster Statistics is freely available. I believe it's the 60th anniversary, I think, this year. It started off yarn data. And Ooster Technologies does this basically as a service to the industry. A number of years ago, they started adding fiber quality data. And they basically collect data from around the world, and they rank it. So if you look here, on your x-axis, you have staple length, you have fiber length. It gives you lots of options, class or staple, upper quartile length, and inches and millimeters. And then you've got your NEP levels here. And they have this available for lots of different fiber properties. And if you're at, say, the 25% line when you do your little intersection, it means 75% of the cotton is actually has more NEPs than yours. So you, in this case, lower percentile is better. It's a little convoluted to think about. You'll notice there's a gap there. You might think that gap is the difference between upland and Pima. Nothing on here says what's upland. Nothing on here says what's ELS. There is just the data is what it is. And you can assume, obviously, the longer stuff is your ELS stuff, but we're going to talk about that as well. So what we did is we collected a little over 2,000 commercial bale samples from the 2016 crop, so last full crop. This represents 20 different roller gins. That's a very large percent of the roller gins in the United States. We took them down in New Orleans. We did HVI and APHIS testing at our lab. And we looked at a couple different things. We wanted to see how it's compared to Ooster statistics. Because, again, it's good data. It's useful data. But it's not specific to roller ginning. And we don't really know how relevant it is to what we do. And then we're also going to look a little bit by what the effect of the different gins are. So in this data set, we had a huge range of properties. Top there is a couple of HVI data points showing minimum 1.13 inches. That's a really short guy to roller gin. Out to 1.55. For the APHIS upper quartile, that's out to 1.63 inches. That's a long cotton. Short fiber content anywhere from as low as 2% to 10%. And NEPS, which we were primarily interested in, as low as 66 NEPS per gram up to 712 NEPS per gram. I don't need your statistics to tell you that if you have 700 NEPS per gram, that is a NEPI cotton. But where's that fall? This is our distribution of length of all the samples we have here. And you can see there does seem to be, there's this bimodal distribution, which would indicate, okay, the shorter guy there on your left is going to be upland cotton. The longer guy over there is going to be your ELS cottons. But you can see there's also a whole lot going on in the middle there where I can't tell you what it is. And we're going to talk about that as well. So first thing to do is plot all the NEPs. So, 2,000 data points here. The black line is the trend line on there. And you can see there's not really much of a correlation between length and NEPs. And that's not unexpected. There's a slight slope there. The red line is the moving average, or the average at each length, because we have so many different readings. It's not fair to say definitively that longer fiber, your ELSs, are going to have less NEPs than your upland cottons. That's something we hear a lot. That shows you can have upland cottons or shorter cottons that have been roller ginned that are just as low a NEP level as your longer staple. And conversely, you can have long staple that has just as many NEPs as your short staple there. So I overlaid this with the Ooster statistics plot, kind of stretched it out to make the axes match up there. And what I'd like to point out here is, our data kind of has this bow tie shape, which again you would think is this upland versus Pima difference within the gray area. And you'll notice that in this blank area here doesn't quite line up with that mixed area for us. That doesn't mean Ooster's wrong. Doesn't mean we're wrong. I think what it indicates is our upland cotton that we're roller ginning is really just that good, that we're really producing roller ginned upland cotton that really kind of blows the doors off the rest of the world, and there's just not enough statistics to prevent that gap there. So that's a good thing for the U.S. producers. We looked at finest. As long as we're running APHIS on it, let's look at some other things. Because, again, next to NEPs, if you're doing fine count yarns, the fineness of the fiber is important because how many fibers you can put in that cross-section depends how fine a yarn you can spin. And in the U.S., we do tend to grow a little coarser fiber because coarser fiber weighs more, and we sell cotton by the pound. And if I can't make that plant do anything other than produce more pounds, then I'm doing something wrong. It's not unexpected that when you get to that longer end, those Barbadens cottons, that you do have finer fibers. But again, you can see there's quite a bit of variability in the fineness for both the uplands and the Barbadens, and there is quite a bit of gray area there in the middle. Similarly with maturity, I don't think this should be a surprise to anyone in this room. The Barbadens cottons tend to just run higher on the maturity ratio for a number of different reasons. But again, there's quite a bit of scatter across there. One thing I will note is I would not think that any of these cottons are immature. Considering that, this is a pretty good subsample of just the random Western roller gin crop, shows the producers are doing a good job. And this is cotton from California, Arizona, New Mexico, and a little bit of Texas. So we got a good cross-section there. Short fiber content, that shouldn't really be a surprise to anyone. When you get to the really long lengths, you do get really low short fiber. But again, there's quite a bit of variability in that data, which is why we decided to then look at this by the gin. Because the cotton is what the cotton is. And when it comes to the high quality cottons, you really do get have less varietal differences. There's fewer varieties out there on the high quality side. So again, I said we had 20 different Rollergens from the U.S. that we sampled data from. You really can't do a huge statistical analysis on this very easily because although there were over 2,000 data points, it wasn't uniformly sampled. Some of these gins only have a dozen or so cottons in here. Some of these gins have well over 100 cottons in here. The blue line is your upper quartile length average, and the error bars are one standard deviation, plus and minus. Your bars here are your NEP levels. The three little dips there, you know, okay, these are roller gins that are pretty much, they're the shorter fibers, so those gins, you can assume, are mostly doing upland cotton. These guys that are up here pushing 1.6 average upper quartile length, they're not going to see upland in their gin. But notice that the NEP levels don't correspond. You know, you don't have the highest NEP levels where you have the shortest fiber. So again, you can have upland cotton that has lower NEP levels than your high-quality Pimas, but there's a huge amount of variability by gin. Some of these gins are running a lot higher NEP levels than others. That's a function of the overhead, the cleaning, how you're setting the gin, and how you're doing quality control. And that's an important issue for the gins. And again, we don't class for this, but this is something mills just pick up on over time. They know which cottons run better. Uniformity index. Okay, that really shouldn't be a huge surprise. Where you have those three dips of the upland cotton, they do have the lower uniformity. But again, even across the ones that are fairly consistent on upper quartile length, you've got quite a bit of variability there in uniformity index. So the gin plays a large role. Roller gin in alone doesn't just instantly magically make everything better. The gin has to do a good job and pay attention. Fineness. This was kind of, I plotted this kind of just check our data here. Because the gin really can't affect fineness much, you know, it's genetically set. We wouldn't expect too much variability, and there is a lot less variability. But again, where you have the upland cottons, you do have a bigger spike because uplands tend to be coarser than your barber-dense cottons. Okay. So why do we do this? You know, the good answer is, or the answer, you know, the good thing we found out is the commercial roller ginning basically follows the research results. So that means we haven't wasted our time. The other interesting thing, though, is, you know, when I recommend Ooster statistics to people, how valid is that? Well, it's fairly representative. But as it shows with this data, when you are pushing the upper boundaries of quality on the upland cotton, you're not going to be on that chart. It's just, there's just not enough data out there. It also showed me that, you know, by and large, U.S. cotton is, as we like to say, it's some of the best cotton in the world, the best cotton in the world. This data upholds it. You know, the vast majority of this data was at that 25% or better mark. That shouldn't be a surprise to anyone in the room. I mean, we're the U.S. We produce really good cotton. And, of course, gins do impact the quality. Now, the final thing, I mentioned this and I said to talk about it, is there's a lot of questions in the industry these days about ELS cottons versus upland. And can you tell the difference? Well, if you haven't picked it up by now, it's not as simple as just looking at fiber properties. I can look at some of those lengths and go, absolutely, that's an ELS cotton. I can look at some of the fineness and go, that's probably an ELS cotton. There's others you just cannot tell. We have really good uplands, and you can have really short ELS cottons. And so, you know, I would hope that this data does help to highlight that issue, that there really is no way to just physically test and go, that's an ELS, that's an upland. And that is something that I know I get a lot of phone calls about. I know Cotton Incorporated gets a lot of phone calls about. SUPIMA gets a lot of phone calls about. Those two organizations take different positions because they have different interests. But it's a hot-button issue, and it's important because the U.S. is the largest producer of ELS cottons, and we have trade sanctity. And if anyone doesn't remember, a couple years ago, there was a large textile mill in India, was producing a lot of goods for Target, all labeled Pima, and it wasn't. And overnight, when Target found out, they pulled every product from that company off the shelf. And it cost a lot of money, and U.S. mills were dancing on their desks because their orders went up. Because when they say it's ELS, it damn well better be. So with that, I thank you. And any questions? Okay. Well, continuing along that... Yes. Tabletop roller gin versus commercial roller gin. Carlos! Because all this data is commercial, so how does tabletop roller ginning hold up? In general, the problem with tabletop roller ginning, the problem with tabletop roller ginning in general, well, tabletop ginning, whether it's roller or saw, you have no seed cotton cleaning, you have no lint cleaning. They are just different beasts. They also are presented to the test instruments slightly different because there's not that combing that comes with cleaning. And remember, in lint cleaning, we're removing material. And we're trying to clean it up. We're going to remove fiber. We're also going to damage fiber. And so sometimes people look at tabletop gin and go, I have this really long length. Well, you're doing it lock by lock usually on a tabletop roller gin. When you make your selections, you're comparing apples to apples. You're comparing tabletop to tabletop, so it's the relative differences. It should trend similarly, but you're not. You can get some really, really good lengths off tabletop that you're not going to see in the real world. And that happens. Same. I mean, with field trials, you know, we're extrapolating 100-foot rows into acres.